Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey listeners, so as you can tell by the title, today's episode is about JC Chazet. But before we jump in, we wanted to flag that we recorded this weeks ago, long before NSYNC announced they're reuniting for an upcoming tour.
Yes, we had to say this because we do not want you listening and thinking, why haven't they mentioned the reunion tour? But I will also say, not to brag, I think that we kind of caused the tour to happen, and like the universe heard us.
We put it in the universe. You're welcome, NSYNC.
Yes, exactly. Especially you, Chris Kirkpatrick, because I know you wasn't working.
Not the shade. This is why I love this bitch. Wait. Okay, but wait. Are we going to the concert? Let me fix it. Field trip?
After fighting for my life for those Beyonce tickets? Absolutely not. Because you know lying. Every millennial mom is going to be swarming Ticketmaster.
Oh my God, you're so right.
They all have kids and they're like, I need to get out of the fucking house. I am going to that NSYNC tour, hell or high water.
Girl, but I bet you 10 to 1 somebody's bringing their kids.
Oh, well, do kids give two shits about NSYNC?
I went to the Lizzo concert. I saw whole families with cheering.
Yes, because the kids are listening to Lizzo's music. I'm asking you, are Gen Zers right now listening to Bye Bye Bye? The answer is no, no, no. They're not.
We're old, old, old.
But listen, congrats to them. We still think JC is the superior member of the group. And now on to the episode.
I feel like I talk to you every single day of my life, but like that's been for the last like 20 some odd years. But I always want to start with like, how are you? How are you doing today?
All things considered, I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited about this episode because I feel like we have very differing opinions. We have a lot of similar opinions.
For sure. For sure.
But there are areas where we don't see eye to eye.
I mean, we and preparing for, I was like, no, you were like, yes. I was like, no, you were like, yes.
So I was like, put it in the pod.
It's totally going to be interesting.
Let me start by saying, do you know how many members NSYNC had, and can you name all of them?
I know that I can say for a fact that they had 5. Let's try to do this test. Chris Kirkpatrick. Mm-hmm. JC and Shazang, Justin Timberlake, such a tone, Lance Bass,
yes,
and Joey Fatone. Remember when they used to call him Joey Fat One? That's
they,
so mean.
They sure called him Joey Fat One. I mean, truly, the name just—it was right there. It's just, like you—it's mean. It's mean.
It's so
especially because he's not fat.
He's
never
not fat
been.
At all.
He's never been fat.
I mean, I guess comparatively, he was the fat one. But he wasn't even that fat comparatively.
No, he wasn't. And also, I would argue that it was really fucked up to go after him when Chris Kirkpatrick had white boy dreads. He had plastic. He had plastic lanyards in his head.
God, man. Yo, 90s fashions, though, early aughts fashions were horrendous. Who said that the dreads were gross? But why would you put something else in there, like
the
a yarn moment?
In there, yeah. He looked like a bargain bin at like a...
Hobby Lobby.
Exactly.
Party
it was
City.
It was giving craft bin. It obviously, it really was. I'm surprised that you got all those names correct.
I was a stan. Like I was the kid who was like, I don't like NSYNC, but like had all of the albums, knew the lyrics backward and forward. I was
now. Were
kid.
You were you out at this point?
Oh hell no. Like I was pining over all of the boy bands and boy idols that all of the girls were, but I just couldn't say it out loud because I had to be loud. I'd be a man. So wait, do you know the name NSYNC is evidently an acronym using the letter of all the members' names?
No.
Isn't that crazy? And it's the last letter. So N is for Justin Timberlake. So Justin, right? Y is for Joey Fatone. S is for Chris Kirkpatrick. Jason Galasso was the other N, and C for J.C. Chazet.
Wait, who? I'm sorry, Jason Galasso? Who is that?
Yes, factoid. Jason Galasso quit before the group blew up because he didn't want to be a teen idol sound, right? Joke's on Jason, though. They replaced him with Lance. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God. You know Jason is somewhere crying his little eyes out.
That regret. That regret. You know what I mean. I mean, that's millions of dollars.
Oh, my God. Well, not only just millions of dollars, when NSYNC was at their peak, they were everywhere. I can't imagine having to see your mistake just every place you turn.
And the other thing is that Jason only has like a blip on the Wikipedia page. Like, he doesn't even have his own Wikipedia page.
Okay, well, neither do you.
Wait a minute. Stop.
Not you shading Jason. DeLon, not a wiki to be found for DeLon Grant.
Oh, just shut. Not a wiki. Listen, you can Google her, though. Google her. She has some hits, okay? Ooh, wait. No.
Listen. Wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it. This is Let Me Fix It, where we do our best to right all of our favorite pop culture wrongs.
Yes. Hello and welcome to Let Me Fix It, where we fast forward our past to our present.
Ooh, that was clever. I'm Francesca Ramsey. I'm a TV writer, actress, and producer, and I used to be a graphic designer in another life.
I am DeLon. I am a actor. I am a photographer. I am a writer, and I am a podcast host.
Yes. Well, today we're going to dig into NSYNC. That's why we started by talking about them at the top of the pod, and why even though Justin Timberlake was the breakout solo star, it should have been JC. That's my ode.
Oh, listen, I really dig it. It's so goofy, but I so love you for it. I mean, I just, here we go with the disagreements already. I just hate that you can't mention J.C. Chazet without mentioning, not the other members, but Justin Timberlake in particular. It's like J.C. and all of the other members have always been in his shadow, right?
It's true. I would argue that happens in every band, right? There's always one breakout. I can't think of any band that's had two breakouts. If you're listening and you have an example of one, please let us know, because it's usually one star and then everybody else goes off to, you know, other industries or just becomes normal people. But here's the thing. JC is arguably the best vocalist out of all of the guys in NSYNC, and even Justin Timberlake agrees with me. He's quoted by saying, "In my opinion, JC had the best voice of all of us, out of all boy bands. Call him what you will, he was the one that could outsing us, and I've known him since I was 12. It was fun to sit behind the board and push him." And that was Justin having some thoughts about JC's unreleased second album, which we will get into.
Yeah, I totally agree with Justin too. It's not that Justin couldn't sing, but there was something about JC that was like just so natural and effortless and not effortful. I mean, if my prior statement about JC doesn't reel with my bias, I also would say that JC was the cuter of all of the members of the group, but that's just me.
Well, I would agree. He was very attractive. I didn't think that Justin was cuter, but it did feel like the two of them were positioned as the lead vocalist in the group. And we do know that Justin is an asshole, right? Like that is totally
tell it true,
accepted.
Though. Tell it true.
He's not a good person. He slut-shamed Britney Spears. He was always taking shots at her. And he really benefited, if we're going to be honest, from good producers, good black producers, discarded Michael Jackson tracks, and ripping off black culture. So we want to talk about what happened to JC and how would we fix his career. So let's dive in.
So just to dig in, J.C. Chazet, born Joshua Scott Chazet, born on August 8th, 1976. Hey, Leo, I'm August 5th. What? He was raised by his mother's former foster parents, Roy and Karen Chazet. They legally adopted him when he was 5. At 13, to get into the musical side of things, he won a national talent competition as a dancer, which made him realize how much he loved performing. As a musically oriented kid, his mom saw an ad for the auditions for Disney's The Mickey Mouse Club in 1989, and they went and the rest is history. He became a Mickey. What do they call him? Mouseketeer?
Mouseketeers. I'm not really sure. I truly am blown away by the fact that this podcast is also a Mickey Mouse review, because there are so many. This is the second time we've talked about someone from Mickey Mouse Club. We've got Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Ryan Gosling, Carrie Russell, Christina Aguilera, and JC Chazé. I had no idea. What a hotbed for talent.
I'm telling you, and I'm sure it won't be the last, because we keep mentioning these like five or six people.
We know there were some black people on there, and we are going to get to the bottom of what happened to them.
We are really coming to find them. If you know who these people are, if they're your cousin, please let us know, because we want to talk, because they're the only people. There's one black kid who
we don't know his name. We don't know where his IMDb is. Just crickets. Where is he at?
He's a farmer somewhere in Oklahoma. Ready?
Oh God.
So back to JC. He gets cast as, let's call him, a Mouseketeer, and was on the show until it got canceled in 1994. In 1995, Chris Kirkpatrick is looking to start a boy band and makes JC one of the lead singers along with Justin Timberlake. Factoid here. Did you know that NSYNC, this blew my mind, only had 4 albums, Fran?
Honestly, I didn't know how many they had. I think I've kind of lumped all of their songs into one big album and then a Christmas album, because that was, everybody had to come out with a Christmas album.
Right. And you're really on par there, because NSYNC, their first self-titled album, Tearing Up My Heart When I'm With You, like that, you know that song, right? Home for Christmas. They had they have a great rendition of Oh Holy Night that melts my heart on that album. The thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. No Strings Attached, which is kind of like what we really know them for, right? Bye, bye, bye. Mm-hmm. And Celebrity. Can't name one tune on that one.
I don't know any songs off of that album.
So in 1997, the self-titled album NSYNC was released, like we said, and it sells 11 million copies. Their second album, No Strings Attached, dropped in 2000. And here's a really interesting factoid. It held the title for the fastest selling album of all time until 2015, when Adele's second album, 25, beat it. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Crazy. 15 years it held the title. I mean, that is a really big deal.
And who knew? Who knew? It sold 2.4 million copies.
So some things that I found really interesting as I was doing research, they titled their second album No Strings Attached because they had just won a successful lawsuit against their manager Lou Pearlman and his record label Transcontinental. I think this is so clever, and they played with that puppet and doll theme on the cover and in the music video for Bye 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 and It's Gonna Be May. We say May instead of me. Lou Pearlman is a bad dude. Why has there not been a TV movie made about him yet?
You're so right. I think we should do a whole episode on Lou Pearlman.
Honestly, we should. He was best known in the 90s for helping launch two of the most popular boy bands, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. What people did not know at the time was that he was also launching his own Ponzi scheme. And for 20 years, he was convincing banks and individuals to invest in these fictitious companies.
Whoa.
So the Backstreet Boys also sued him and won. He was paying himself millions and only paying NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys tens of thousands.
Wow. So they sold 2.4 million and
he was pocketing so much money. Wow. In 2008, he was convicted and sentenced to 25 years in prison, and he died in custody in 2016. So that album had a lot of meaning for them, as, you know, cutting the cord with them and Lou Pearlman. And then Celebrity was their last studio album. And then NSYNC took a hiatus in 2001, right before he graduated from high school. So many years ago. The band sold more than 70 million records worldwide, becoming the fifth best-selling boy band in history.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, that's a big deal. And while being in the group, JC began producing and songwriting, which is something that he still does to this day.
I never thought about all of the boy bands. Like, I think NSYNC and Backstreet Boys are kind mm-hmm. of in the forefront of my mind. But now that we're saying that, and we've done a little research here, I had to go back and think about, well, what were or are all of the boy bands? Because, you know, what we're going to be alive in the 20th and 21st century. Like, in our lifetime or the span of the 20th century, what were they? I think it's the Beatles are probably arguably the first boy band.
They are the boy band.
They, like, set the framework for, like, a bunch of dudes, right? Other than, mm-hmm. like, doo-wop and kind of that barbershop quartet, you could argue that that started it. But then I thought, like, in the 60s and 70s, the Jackson 5 are kind of the family orientation of them, right? And the Osmonds. And then I was like, it just got me thinking. I was like, well, Jackson 5 was Motown. Motown had a couple of groups. They had the Temptations, Gladys mm-hmm. and the Pips. Thank you for going down this memory lane because it's so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
1980s, I call this like the band boy craze because this is when New Kids on the Block was interesting, Menudo, New Edition, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when we were born and starting to realize what some of those, who these groups were and kind of starting to buy their albums, go to their concerts. Factoid here, Lou Pearlman, he got his idea for NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys after he saw New Kids on the Block. He went to a concert and saw all of these millions, or not millions, but like a bunch of girls screaming. And he was like, money, 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 money. Decided to start his own group. Totally.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Something that you didn't mention in here that I thought was very interesting is now we have all these K-pop groups. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were inspired by the Backstreet Boys and the NSYNC and the New Kids on the Block, because these K-pop groups, they are giving you soul. They're giving you rap. They're giving you, you know, gyrating movement.
Wait, no, listen. I was at a coffee shop in New York, and it must be owned by Korean people because there's like a very Korean kind of theme, and all they do is play Korean K-pop, and I'd never really listened to it, and I was like, why does this sound like Blackstreet? And
yo,
like,
they are singing down,
singing, riffing, rapping. I was like, yo, and rapping in Korean too. And I was like,
Korean and English. They go in and out.
And I was dumbfounded. I mean, I was supposed to do work, but I was sitting there just listening to this pop music. Yeah, you're right. They totally modeled it after the groups of the 90s. 98 Degrees is when I forgot about. LFO.
No one remembers 98 Degrees. Honestly, I can't tell you one song. I can't tell you one song they had.
I don't think I can either. They had a Christmas album too.
Everybody had a Christmas album.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, wait. Here's what I wanted to ask you. What I love about boy bands, and K-pop is really good at this, because the K-pop groups will have 30 members. I'm not joking.
It's crazy.
They will have so many. But they basically have a type for everyone. There's a pretty one. There's a bad one. There's an ugly one.
Uh-uh.
There's an ugly one in every single group.
Wait. give me, who's the ugly one in Hanson?
In Hanson?
Oh, that's easy.
The oldest one.
Yeah, it's the oldest one. In the Jonas Brothers, it's the oldest one too.
The pretty one is the youngest one in Hanson. There was no bad boy in Hanson.
The middle one could be said he's like the bad boy or the rocker.
Well, they're very Christian. I think they're Christian. They all have like 12 kids. They are like, God. We believe in God. We don't believe in birth control. They are just popping those fuckers out.
Nick Cannon who?
So after NSYNC put out their final album, Celebrity, they went on hiatus. So they didn't know it was, they, according to them, they did not know it was their final album. They said, we're going to take a break. It ended up being a lifelong break. Ooh. The following year, Justin releases his debut album, Justified, in 2002. Now, here's where DeLon and I have differing opinions. I think, oh my God, DeLon is rolling his eyes so hard. I just want to preface this by saying, I'm not here to like boost Justin Timberlake's career, image, whatever. I have many side eye for him, but I don't think we can talk about JC's career as a solo artist without acknowledging that Justin Timberlake's solo career predates his, and I think is part of why he didn't pop off.
I don't disagree with that. I think there's significant evidence related to some of the reasons we can't stand Justin Timberlake that actually overshadow JC's solo career. But I'm just like, yo, do we have to give him all of this space? Can't we just be like, this is what JC did? Forget Justin. Who cares?
Okay. Here's why I would like to address it. Because again, I'm going to fold it in to the JC analysis. Justified is very notably produced by Pharrell Williams and Timbaland. Sure. And I think that is why the album is successful. It's not Justin. It's the fucking music. The music is really good. And Pharrell even admitted that all of the songs, with the exception of one, were all songs he wrote for Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson rejected. And so Justin was smart enough. I mean, he's like the original fucking culture vulture in this respect. Where he said, I'm going to latch myself onto these black producers and I'm going to do a white man's impression of Michael Jackson. Rock Your Body sounds like a fucking Michael Jackson song.
No, it's Rock With You. Rock With You.
It's so very clearly Michael Jackson. And I think that this is why JC's solo music didn't do as well, because it was just like very unfocused. He didn't know what he was doing. And so JC also tried going solo at the same time after their hiatus. He did some solo work while they were still a group, actually. He is on the 1999 single Bring It All to Me with the girl group Black, even though the vocals are credited to NSYNC, even though it's just him.
That's foul.
Is that so fucked up?
I remember that song. Hey, baby, bring it all to me.
It's a great song. And once again, you can really hear that JC has an incredible voice. He also did some songwriting and production for NSYNC and other artists, including Wild Orchid. And then he drops his very first single in 2002, which is Blowing Me Up With Her Love, featuring Tara Reid in the music video with some very ugly red extensions. Do you remember this song, DeLon?
I could not sing it for you right now, but I remember when we were doing the research for it, I loved this song. I was like, I forgot about this song. I really did like it. It was a bop.
It was a good song.
It was a dance song. Yeah.
So in 2004, he releases his very first solo album, Schizophrenic. That album title would not work today. They would eat you up over that title.
They really would. I mean, all, with like Lizzo and Beyonce rescinding lyrics, yes, they would eat you alive.
People would not be here for it.
I know. Have you listened to this album? Because it's exactly that. It's all over the place. Schizophrenic.
It's bad. It is all over the place.
But it also, like, I have to credit like the attempt, right? Because it's giving you 80s synth, rock, new wave, pop, and R&B. Mm-hmm. It's like he's trying to find his identity musically, which I really can respect. And he's like, you know what? I'm just throwing spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticks. But the voice is undeniable. The groove is undeniable. But it's just, like you said, it's completely unfocused.
One song that was a single that is a great song was Some Girls Dance With Women, a bisexual women's anthem, I might say.
The leading tone in the voice.
Wait, I looked up the lyrics because I didn't remember that that's what it was called. I remember the song, but I don't remember the lyrics. The chorus says, some girls dance with women, knowing that it gets them attention, and I want to get in with them, so pass me a drink and let's go. Okay, so not exactly a bisexual anthem. It's giving biphobic. It's giving male gaze. It's giving straight guy at the lesbian bar trying to turn women.
And the straight guy at the lesbian bar trying to turn women, like, just AKA predator, right?
Yes.
Like, if you're showing up at a bar, I mean,
fully.
And if we analyze all music lyrics, we'll find a lot more than we think. But some girls dance with women knowing to get some attention. Sir, you're also salty for what? Right?
Enjoy it. Enjoy the wares and shut your mouth.
Okay. Get a drink. Give them both a drink. Shoot.
Exactly.
You might get lucky. Who knows?
So, as you mentioned, the album is unfocused. There are 17 tracks on it. It feels kind of rock and roll-y, kind of Maroon 5-ish. And again, because he's trying all these different things, which I agree, I give him credit for that. As a listener, it's just so disjointed that it's not a pleasurable listening experience. And it did stick out to me that it feels like JC is trying to assert that he's very sexy and he is edgy. You know, he's like, I'm not in a boy band anymore. I'm raunchy. He has a song called All Day Long I Dream About Sex.
Is it really?
It's, Delon, it's so bad. I clipped some lyrics. Keep in mind, I'm a love machine. Get it 24/7. Call me anytime you need. Right before making it clear, all day long I dream about sex. All night long I think about sex. And all the time I think about sex with you. With you. This is like so clunky.
What was the Adidas and acronym?
All day I dream about sex was Adidas. Oh my God, there's like a rock band. I can't remember who it
was
is.
Was it really?
But it's a play on Adidas.
Right.
It does, again, it just does not feel authentic to him. He also has a song called Come to Me where he says, I lay awake and masturbate.
Oh.
I love to hear the sounds you make. Like, sir, masturbate and make?
Also, like, writing about, here's the thing, it's too on the nose for me.
Yes.
I lie awake and masturbate. There needs to be innuendo. There needs to be,
yes, you know, give me an analogy.
Exactly. That's poetry.
Paint a picture,
right?
For me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to see you. I don't want to imagine you, like, stroking it. I don't want to see that. I mean, I do want to see it, JC. I really do want to see it. But in your song, I don't want to hear it. I want
to. Yes, exactly. Innuendo. Leave something to the imagination.
The reason Schizophrenic didn't go, though, Fran, was because it was delayed and overshadowed by Justin Timberlake. One of the reasons, not only his solo album, but the whole 2004 Super Bowl 38 Janet Jackson titty moment. There,
which is so crazy because, one, it's unfair to JC, but that moment centered on Janet Jackson. Justin didn't take any heat.
I know.
He slinked away into the shadows and let Janet take all of the heat. And so he essentially fucked up Janet's career and JC's career being present for, which, again, at the time, it was such a big deal. In hindsight, it's like nothing. Everybody has a fucking OnlyFans now. I've seen more porn on Twitter than I've ever seen in my life. And
yo,
people saw Janet's nipple with a nipple shield on it, and they lost their freaking minds.
That's what's really crazy, is that if the FEC went nuts, fined everybody, everybody was in trouble. But to your point, the internet is the internet now, and everyone, it's okay to have, like, your bits on Twitter. I go to my Instagram and I'm like, where are all these muscly bodies? I'm like, oh, that's because you follow all these
muscly
you,
Delon, dudes. That's just your Instagram. Mine is not muscly men.
Out of my business, back to JC's. The other reason is that Schizophrenic was on the shelf for a long time. And by the time this Super Bowl moment happened, they had been slow. The record company had been slow walking Schizophrenic, and he was already working on a second album. And he was slated to do the following Super Bowl the next year, and all of that got reneged. His second album they reneged on, the Super Bowl they reneged on. They were like, "You're connected to Justin Timberlake, and what happened? So we can't do it," which is, like, so messed up.
Yeah. So both of his singles flopped. They did not do very well in the singles chart, and the album didn't do very well either. It only sold 121,000 copies.
And the same year, like I said, he'd been working on his second studio album, The Story of Kate, with Jive Records. And due to the issues with the label, that wasn't released either. But here's a fun fact, friends. If you would like to hear The Story of Kate, you can go to YouTube. The entire We'll put this in the show notes too. The entire album is in one video on YouTube.
I'm going to tell you to skip it. Delon, it's bad.
I mean, listen.
It's bad.
I mean, okay, listen. Is it great? No. Is it worth a listen? Yeah. I mean, just in the interest of like seeing what he was creating and his. I hate you so much.
I hate you so much.
Well, let me say this. I listened to the album in its entirety for everyone. The jam that I came away with was Fuck With My Mind, which is also the title Two on the Nose. But if you started at the whole video at 2040, you can hear the song. I mean, it's giving gospel organ chords. It's giving dulcet tones, a milky riff. I mean, my panties were coming off. I'm telling you, just give it a listen.
You're just so beautiful, it makes me cry. You always get your way, girl, every time. It breaks my heart, we had to say goodbye. But I just can't let you fuck with my mind.
Well said. You've already said that you're biased. I am the dose of reality. The song is mid. The whole thing sounds like a Maroon 5 reject, even down to the title. Songs about Kate, or the story of Kate. Maroon 5's debut album was songs about Jane. Need I say less? The album sounds like Matchbox 20. It feels so dated. And again, I know you're going to get mad at me, but Justin Timberlake's music, considering it came out 2 years before JC's debut album, it sounds futuristic. It's because he picked producers, Pharrell and Timbaland, who are always doing things with their music that sound new and innovative. And I think a big part of JC's problem is he doesn't know what his musical voice is. He's just doing too much.
And there I agree. That's what I think Schizophrenic was about. Him trying to suss stuff out and see who he is and be sexy, like you said. I do think it's not completely fair to say that it's dated, because it's all dated at this point. But I hear you on Timbaland and Pharrell having been futuristic producers. If you listen to, like, remember the Nelly Furtado music Timbaland did? If you listen to that to this day, it's still bopping.
It's still a bop. And at the time, it was like, whoa, what is this? Like, I remember, honestly, to jump ahead, I know, again, you're going to get mad, but I remember the first time I heard Sexy back, and I was like, this sounds so weird. I hate this. And then a week later,
really?
I was like, because I just thought it was so weird. It was so like, you know, there's like, there's like, there's like all these like weird noises happening.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, I was like, this song's amazing. It was just because it was something so different. And I think, especially if you're in a group and people know you for doing one sort of sound, because I will say there's like one song, one or two on both of those JC albums that sound like NSYNC ripoffs. They sound like leftovers.
I hear that. And I would argue that, again, he was trying to find that voice. He didn't know himself outside of it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know what? I'm coming. You're convincing me. If he'd worked with a Pharrell or a Timbaland, he would have started sounding like Justin. But I do think if he found a producer that helped him find his voice with them, outside of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the hard part, too, is that, like, they are both R&B artists. Like, in the same way Justin was taking from black artists, I think you could argue JC was doing the same thing.
They are giving you soulful grooves and bops. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things to do, though, Fran, is I always do this whenever we talk about a celeb or I'm thinking about a celeb. I always Google their net worth, and I'm sure it's never accurate, but it says that JC Chagay is worth $16 million on Google. So here's the thing. He's not hurting for cash. He's like, y'all keep talking. I'm over here living my life. I'm doing all right.
Here's the thing. I do not trust those net worth websites, because according to idlenetworth.com, I have a net worth of $2.3 million, and that is...
girl... I borrow $200,000.
Delon, I looked this up and I was like, not me being a millionaire. not to my
Fred said I would have a house by now. Okay.
I was like, this is news to me. Not me finding out I have money on the internet.
Can you imagine?
So what is JC doing today? Mainly, he is singing and working as a songwriter. He's written songs for David Archuleta of American Idol fame, which, again, no shade.
Blast.
Do you know a David Archuleta song?
Not a one. I know the name from American Idol, but and it's like first five seasons, right? Like,
yeah, he not having any hits.
God bless.
Matthew Morrison, he's also written for the Backstreet Boys. He also hopped on the reality TV train like many celebrities. He was the host of America's Best Dance Crew in 2008. He remained a judge for the first seven seasons. In 2012, he tried to start an 11-member girl group, K-pop type group called Girl Radical.
Not 11 people. Damn, you weren't lying. I mean, they do have an army.
Listen, in K-pop, in regular pop music, you've got the ugly one, the hot one, the bad boy. In K-pop, you've got like the dentist. You've got the girl with the glasses. You've got the girl with the streak of purple in her hair.
You've got an entire country.
You've got a left-handed one. You got a right-handed. Nuh-uh. Like, they have everything.
One for every letter of the alphabet.
It's so true. So in 2014, JC goes on the North American tour of the musical Jesus Christ Superstar with a few celebrities. Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child was in there. Brandon Boyd from Incubus. Unfortunately, the show was canceled due to poor ticket sales. Wah, wah, poor Michelle. She just can't win.
Ooh,
for losing.
She can't catch one either. She can't.
She
catch
really
one
can't. She really can't.
I mean,
oh, God. Once again, it's hard to break out of a group and be successful. It's like Highlander. There can only be one.
And I do think there has to be something to be said for, I'm just glad to be here if my name's Michelle or JC, right? I'm just glad to be here. Thank you
so
much.
Oh, listen, you are still being paid. You are still being invited to red carpets. You are still getting brand deals. They're doing fine.
People know your name.
JC has also been featured on a number of songs with artists like Miguel and Blues Traveler. January 2023, Shazay appeared as a guest on his former bandmate Lance Bass's Frosted Tips podcast, because everyone has a fucking
podcast.
And he revealed on the pod that he is working on a musical.
Really?
So, yes. This is new. This is news. I support it.
Listen,
and we want to be clear. He's
fixing
successful.
Himself. Let he's, me fix it.
Listen, he's very rich. He's living off that NSYNC fortune. But I still hate that Justin was the breakout.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So, Dawn, what do you think went wrong in JC's career? Why did he not become the breakout?
Well, I mean, first of all, the delayed album, right? For 2 years after NSYNC, I believe it is, that came out in 2004. Justin's came out in 2002. So being in Justin's shadow, first of all, it's just not going to be that much of a splash, right? Because Justin was also kind of the front man, if for better or for worse, even though they were both leads, I think. What do you think?
Like I said, unfocused sound. Some of those songs sounded like NSYNC reject tracks. It sounded very dated by comparison to Justified. Justified came out in 2002. Just 2 years later, Schizophrenic came out, and it just sounded old already.
Yeah.
So this is the part in the show where it's time to fix.
Let me fix it.
Uh-uh.
Let me fix it.
Where we each are going to pitch how we would revamp JC Chazé's career.
Give it to me, friend.
Dylan, you kind of touched on it earlier. I think that JC needs his dream producer. That is where his music flopped. So some people that I would love to hear him collaborate with, Anderson .Paak. I like a throwback sound, okay? Because Justin went futuristic. If he went throwback, because again, he's got that R&B soulful voice. Think the same way that Bruno Mars has teamed up with Anderson .Paak. I think that JC would really fucking kill that sound. It leans into his vocal talents. And I think that that's something that Justin cannot do. Because
it's
Justin...
It's really
Justin has really relied on great production. The production is carrying him. Might I remind you when he did that album, Man of the Earth, Man of the Woods, or it was just bad. It was just so bad. He was trying to do
him on the cover with like, wasn't he in like a flannel or some shit?
He was trying to do I'm a white man now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like Miley did the same thing where it was like, I love black culture and now I love white culture. Someone else I would love to see JC collaborate with is Catronata.
See, now that would be a futuristic moment. That would be a forward-looking moment. If
and
you
dance, like dancey, clubby, you know, Catronata loves a soulful voice over some trip-hop beats, you know, just like, I just think he could really, really kill that. And then my other pitch for him, because Justin has really cornered, like, doing a lot of acting, what if JC did some voice acting? I could see him in a cartoon, a musical cartoon of some sort.
Oh, and that's, listen, and the animation world is huge, especially with celebrities, right? We can name three or four of them right now, I'm sure. Yeah, that's actually a good pitch. I, just in the interest of trying to give him more cookies and props for his first two solo albums, I think my fix would be an unplugged MTV style concert for his music where he just unpacks why he wrote them and why his schizophrenic was there and what he was going through with his life. Just so that we get a sense of what I just want to know. I want to know why he wrote those songs.
DeLon,
so
you are dickmatized. Nobody gives a fuck about listen. You want a behind the music of an album nobody listened to?
No, listen, he was talking about masturbating in the lyrics. I want to know. I have questions. Why, sir? No, I just think give it more space. Explain why the songs, who he collaborated with, and he could update the songs maybe potentially. That's one of my fixes. I also thought I took a couple of music classes during the pandemic because I had nothing but time. And I took like Alicia Keys' master class, which I learned some things from, but maybe teaching like a master class of like on harmony or how to write a song. Ryan Tedder has a great class that I took that I think I can see him doing that.
And JC wrote a lot of songs for NSYNC. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Yeah, he has the ability and the props and like they're, you know, a bunch of us would, I would take the class. I would also read his autobiography. Where's that? Because I feel like there's some things he's not saying. He's so quiet, you know? I want to know.
Yeah, I really like that idea because we kind of glossed over it when we went through his bio to begin with, but he was raised by his mom's foster parents.
Exactly.
I mean, what's the story there? Like, I'm sure there's something really inspirational and just kind of getting personal to your point about, we don't know. We don't really know anything about him.
I know. And another thing that I found out is they also adopted his brother. So his mother had two sons and these foster, Roy and Ken, I think is their name. Roy and Karen. They adopted both boys, which I thought really interesting. Yeah. So I feel like there's also some stuff I really want to know about. I would love to learn more about his opinion on the Lou Pearlman stuff. I would love to know what the fight of identity in the group or, you know, if there was anything or if it was all just love. Like, I really want to know some of the juicy details.
Yeah, that is really, really smart because even the Lou Pearlman stuff, when that happened, I mean, that was like the height of their career. I really don't remember that being the story. Like,
Fran, I don't remember any of that.
No, I mean, I remember seeing his face, but I don't know anything about like how much money did they lose? Like, what was happening behind the scenes? How did they find out he was stealing from them? Like, all of that.
One thing I learned is I think this was with Backstreet and they were waiting for money and waiting for money. He took them to this nice restaurant and they were all about to get these checks. He handed out the checks after the dinner. They opened the checks. Girl, he gave them all $10,000. This is after millions of copies of albums.
Oh, my God.
Show appearances are huge. $10,000. I was like, wow.
Give me the TV movie of the Lou Pearlman story, exec produced by J.C. Chazet.
You've hit it. You've hit it. I want to see that.
I want to see that. We've gotten the Tommy and Pam Anderson.
Yeah.
We've had all of these mini series about the real story behind these moments from history.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the Lou Pearlman one. And JC, cast the hottest motherfucker to play you.
Oh.
And cast a gremlin to play Justin.
That tickled me so bad. Absolute, a gargoyle. Just a fucking gargoyle. I'm dead.
Everyone will be like, who is that supposed to be?
Wait, people might not know Dear Evan Hansen, which is a musical, but the original guy who played him on Broadway, he was younger when he played him, and then they shot the movie and they cast him and they put this wig on him that looks like Justin Timberlake, and he's like, everyone is like a teenager, and he's this old man.
He looks old. He looks real old.
Ben Platt is his name.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh God, it looks. I just saw that in my head when you said Justin.
That's who's
Timberlake.
Gonna play Justin in the miniseries. That's it.
Oh my God! So
congratulations,
wait,
Ben Platt. You didn't need your daddy for this role.
Ooh,
you're booked.
Ooh, uncomfortable, uncomfortable, but true. Nepotism.
Oh my God, the face that you just made was so funny. You look like you stepped on a hot coal.
I was like, oh, I'm uncomfortable because it's the truth.
To wrap up the show, we're going to do our very favorite segment, the glow up. We spent this episode talking about how we would fix JC Chazet's career, and now it's time to talk about people, places, things, brands that didn't need our help at all. They had a natural glow up. Delon, let's go with you first.
You know, listen, vintage never goes out of style, evidently. And I don't know, in this, you know, 21st century, the first 20 years, it's been like vintage crazy, vintage shops. I know so many people that have record players and records, and record companies are also putting a lot of like pressing LPs. The first one I remember seeing was with Back to Black with Amy Winehouse, but
yes,
now they're everywhere. So I just want to give records, LPs, record players, and that throwback a whole shine, whole flowers, whole cookies and glow up, because I actually sat at a friend's house recently and listened to the record player and I was like, wow, it actually not only not the scratchiness of it, but like you can hear the instruments. Don't get me dorkified over here, but you can hear the instruments in a different way because the way music works now, everything's so compressed and you can, it's like really jammed, packed with sounds and you're like, oh, okay, it's just mashed together. But there's separation and you can hear all of the strings and horns. So I was really dumbfounded by that. And I may have been stoned, but, but
I love
experience.
That. And you know what's also so smart about it is that these records are really catering to the super fans, because you buy the album and then they release this limited edition of the record and then the super fans go and snatch them up. This is for people who already love the artist. You're not buying a record of somebody you never heard of.
True.
You're buying a record to support an artist that you already love. Very, very smart. A lot of industries could learn from records in that respect.
Okay. Okay. What is yours, Fran?
My glow up goes to a root vegetable, the beet.
Oh.
Beets have really come on the scene. I love a beet, but when I was a kid, I hated beets. They were nasty. They kind of tasted like dirt. Now the dirt part is what I like about it.
It's a root. It's a root. Why to say it like that? It's a root. I will take a can of beets and I will put some apple cider vinegar in those bad boys. Mm. Let it soak for a few hours. Drain that stuff out. Salt and pepper. Done.
Ooh, I haven't done that before. I love a roasted beet salad with a little goat cheese some candied almonds or walnuts in there. I'm into that.
Some
I just
arugula.
Remember I love an arugula. I just remember being a kid and my grandmother putting beets on my plate and being so grossed out by them. Mm. And just like, you weren't seeing beets in salads. And they just feel very like hipstery and cool and healthy. Mm-hmm. And I want that for all of us. I want us to be ugly ducklings and then emerge and embrace who we are and, you know, be cool and have not changed at all. Beets are the exact same vegetable they were to begin with, and now they're just having a moment.
And, you know, the only person that is, the thing that has changed is your relationship with them, because now you're a California girl. So now she's embracing vegetables and going on hikes and all the things.
Not you tying my love of beets to my woo-woo era.
Listen, you better live in the era. Shoot, I'm trying to be like you. I'm trying to be like you. Well, that is our episode, guys. We thank you so much for tuning in. If you have a comment about JC Chazet or Justin Timberlake, please get at us in the comments on your podcast feed, or you can always DM us at FixItPod, which is our handle on Instagram.
Yeah, and let us know if you have ideas for other people whose careers you think we should fix, movies, books. We love hearing from you. So definitely go ahead and rate us on your very favorite podcast app.
I'm DeLon.
I'm Francesca, and this was Let Me Fix It.